Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Our text this morning is from Mark chapter 5. Taking her by the hand, he said to her, Talitha kumi, which means, little girl, I say to you, arise. This is the text. We had a wonderful week of vacation Bible school. Of course, we had a Bible story every day, and we spent most of the week in the Old Testament with David and the judges and the three men in the fiery furnace. Then on Thursday, we heard about blindness being healed. Bartimaeus and Paul were both healed of blindness, both physical and spiritual. But during our time together on all the days, we focused on three words in particular: vocation, authority, and what it means to be awesome. A word which gets misused in our culture 99% of the time. Jesus has many vocations, as we see in Scripture. He is prophet, priest, and king, as we read of in the letter to the Hebrews. He is our creator in that he spoke all the universe into existence. Through him all things were made that have been made. John chapter 1. We confess that in the Nicene Creed also. He is the one who said, let there be light. In a very overly simplistic form, you know, think of God the Father as the architect of the universe. Jesus was his contractor. He's the one who spoke it into existence. He is our Savior, our Redeemer, our friend. What a friend we have in Jesus, as the hymn writer says. In our gospel reading, we see that Jesus is a healer and a raiser of the dead. He has many vocations. So what is a vocation? It's not simply a job that brings you a paycheck. No one has just one vocation in life. A vocation is any role in life in which you have authority or responsibility. In addition to being a pastor, I am a husband, a father, a son, a brother, a godfather, an uncle, a friend, a teacher. All of those roles, all of those vocations give me authority in varying degrees, but I have more authority over my two children than I do over my nieces and nephews. I also have responsibilities in varying degrees, given those different vocations. And God has given us these vocations in life not for our own good. He doesn't give you authority so that you can wield it over other people. You have been given authority in life for the good of those who are under your authority, for the good of your neighbor, not for the good of yourself. The authority I have over my wife and children is to be for their benefit. My work as a father is to be for their ultimate good, not just for putting a roof over their head or food on the table. I am to be the minister of the Word of God in my own household. And that's the role of every father, not just the ones who are pastors. You as fathers, speaking specifically here, you are the ones to whom God will hold accountable on the last day for the teaching of the Word of God, within your household. Now, within your household, those who are under your authority, they have responsibilities also, just like anyone who is under authority. They are responsible for offering honor and respect to those who have the authority over them. They are responsible for hearing the Word of God. This interaction, this sort of economy or community is what God desires. This is how God blesses you in life. God always works through means. He doesn't simply rain down grace from heaven on high. He sends water down from heaven on high, it seems, constantly. But grace doesn't work that way. He creates faith through the waters of baptism. Faith comes by hearing. But he doesn't come and speak directly to you in your room at night. He speaks to you through Moses and the prophets, through the words of Jesus and the apostles. He doesn't show up when we gather for worship and say, "Here I am, worship me." Yet he is right here at our Redeemer in his physical presence every Saturday night and Sunday morning. He has told you, "This is my body. This is my blood." If you want to find Jesus, he's told you where he is. He comes through means, through some sort of vehicle to you. This is how he has always worked. But just like spiritual blessings from God come through these means of grace, so also the day-to-day blessings in life do not simply rain down out of heaven. In your vocations of life, God has placed you under the authority of others that they may do good for you, just as God has placed others under your authority that you may do good for them. We all share in responsibilities to one another. And the more authority that you are given in this life, the greater the burden you have. Authority is not a privilege. It's a burden when it's used correctly. But it's a good burden. If you want to see how richly God has blessed you, just look around. You're a baptized child of God in the safety of God's house, hearing his word of forgiveness, grace, and life, participating in the sacramental life of Christ's church as the people of God have done for centuries, and you get to do this with people you love and people who love you. This is what living under the authority of God is like. Authority, when used properly, it's always used for the good of those who are under that authority. Be thankful that you live under the authority of Christ and his church. In our gospel reading today, we see the fullness of Christ's authority. The authority of Jesus, it's recognized by the synagogue ruler named Jairus. He says, "My little daughter is at the point of death. Come and lay your hands on her so that she..." This is where English translators drop the ball. I don't know why in Mark's gospel they do this. Everywhere else in literature, from ancient times on in the Greek language, the word sozo means saved. In Paul's writings, it's always translated saved. For some reason here in Mark, they want to say it means to be healed. So the translation says, "Come and lay your hands on her so that she may be made well." Well, it actually says so that she may be saved. And this exact same word shows up with the woman that Jesus heals from the flow of blood. Jesus says to her, "Daughter, your faith has saved you." It doesn't say your faith has made you well. That comes later. It says your faith has saved you. Go in peace. And then if you read on, look at it again. It says, "And be healed of your disease." This woman was saved by faith. The bonus is that she also is going to have this physical healing. But that's not the focus of what Jesus was doing here. The focus of Jesus was not simply to be some healer, miracle worker. He came to save. Jesus has the authority to heal. But even more, he has the authority to save. However, it's only when he gets back to Jairus' house that we see Jesus' real authority. The girl has died. The family and friends and neighbors, they're mourning and wailing, as is their custom. And it's a good custom. You know, death hurts. We shouldn't pretend that it doesn't. I don't know why in our society we want to pretend that death is not a problem. That death is okay. That it's a friend. Death always hurts. It's okay. It's good that we shed tears and that we mourn the loss that we have. Because we know that Jesus has authority over death. And he has taken away the sting of death in the final sense. And we will see those ones we love once again. And here he says, little girl, I say to you, arise. And yes, that's the same Greek word that gets used concerning Jesus and his resurrection. This is the resurrection word. And Jesus, he's going to say to his disciples in the upper room on the night that he was betrayed, as he's preparing them for his death and resurrection, he very specifically says to them, I have the authority to lay down my life. And I have the authority to take it up again. This is why Jesus is awesome. And you talk about words that get misapplied. That's a word that gets thrown around a lot these days. To be awesome in our culture is thought to be cool or fun or exciting. It's not what the word means. To be awesome means to be totally terrifying and awe-creating to the point of overwhelming you. What is awe? During Vacation Bible School, Caleb the Camel described it as the feeling you get when you step out to the edge of a very high cliff, to the very edge, and look down. If you know what that feeling is like, that is awe. When you are in awe of something or someone, you recognize that you are small and powerless compared to that which you stand in awe of. Being our God and Savior, Jesus is truly awesome. We stand in awe of him and what he did going to the cross and rising from the dead. And we give thanks that we are under his authority. Because he has the authority to forgive you all of your sins. He has the authority to save you. And like with Jairus' daughter, he has the authority to raise you up from the dead. And he will. Amen. The peace of God which surpasses all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.